This morning in our scripture lesson, we are looking with Jesus toward these next 40 days of preparation. And in the Gospel of Luke, we are told of the moment in which Jesus turns his face toward Jerusalem and begins his journey to the cross. I invite you to hear our scripture lesson this morning from the 9th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 51 through 57. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." And Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, he turned his face to Jerusalem. Here in this chapter of the Gospel of Luke, we reach a turning point in Jesus' ministry. Jesus has been teaching and preaching and offering a message to his disciples and to the crowds, but at this point, there's a turning. And Jesus begins a singular focus on getting to Jerusalem. A singular focus on his mission to redeem and reconcile and restore our relationship to God, even if it costs him everything. And so for the rest of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus walks to Jerusalem. And in turning his face, Jesus reveals his true motivation and his true vision. But such a turning puts him at odds with so many people. He enters a Samaritan village, and the Samaritans refuse him hospitality. And I kind of chuckle at the disciples. I know you're not supposed to laugh at this, but it seems odd, right? He comes to the village. They're not going to let him stay. And James and John says, "Jesus, do you want us to command that fire rain down and burn this place to the ground?" I think the disciples are having a bit of a bad day. And Jesus rebukes them. His face is turned toward Jerusalem, and he has no need for retribution. No need to punish. His focus is to get to Jerusalem, and if others don't want to help him, he will not be deterred. He will not be distracted, because he knows that other people will also not understand. And it is for them especially, for those of us who do not yet fully understand what Jesus is doing, he has sympathy and not fire. The story goes on. He continues his journey, his face still set to Jerusalem. And there are others who, having heard of his preaching and teaching, want to follow him. In fact, we have three stories, three people who run up to Jesus and say, "I want to follow you, but..." And each of them have very good excuses. "I want to follow you," but Jesus says, "Well, you know, it's not going to be comfortable. We don't have any lodging. The one village won't even let us in. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be uncomfortable. We're going to have to walk." And that first person decides not to follow. Another one wants to follow and has a simple request: "Lord, I want to follow you, I'll go with you, but if you'll give me a few hours, I need to go home for my dad's funeral." Seems like a simple request that Jesus should honor. And I don't know about you, it's a little disconcerting to me that Jesus says, "Let the dead bury their dead." Now, this is not a sermon to explain exactly what he means by this, except to say, when Jesus has turned his face to Jerusalem, when he has reached this turning point in his ministry, even the things of life which on other occasions would seem like good excuses pale in comparison to Jesus' singular desire to get to Jerusalem to save us. The third person who runs up to him and says, "I want to follow you, I will follow you, I just need 45 seconds to go home and tell my family that I'm gone." And even then, Jesus says, "No one puts their hand to the plow and then turns back. They are not fit for the kingdom of heaven." Sounds like Jesus is having a bad day now. But what all of these moments of challenge highlight for us is that now that Jesus has turned his face to Jerusalem, he has no time for any excuse. He will not be distracted. He will not be delayed. He will not wait. For those of us who like to make excuses for why tomorrow will be a better day to follow Jesus. And so this journey has begun, a journey toward Jerusalem where Jesus will be betrayed and crucified, where his faithfulness to God will lead to his death and possibly the death of those around him. And I really do think that the harshness of the tone of this scripture is meant to jar us out of complacency, to jar us out of the easy way that we kind of follow Jesus when it's convenient to our schedule or our comfort. It seems to me that what Jesus wants us to understand is that sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, following Jesus will mean that we have to give up our comfort. Following Jesus sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes means other members of our family won't understand. That following Jesus sometimes, but not all the time, but sometimes will put us at odds with people that we love more than anything. For the rest of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus has his face turned toward Jerusalem. And in the season of Lent, these 40 days of preparation that begin this Wednesday, in this season, we are invited to turn our faces with Jesus to Jerusalem. A season of turning. Turning away from comforts and ways of life and turning toward Jesus and his cross. So during the season of Lent, one of the ways that we often accomplish this turning is by committing ourselves to historic ways of prayer and fasting. Sometimes that looks like giving something up for Lent, right? I'm not going to eat chocolate. I'm not going to drink a soft drink. I'm going to give up dessert, except on the weekends, right? But we give up something as a way of recognizing our need to turn away from indulgence and from self-centeredness and turning toward Jesus. Now, one of the ways that I have learned to do this is that when I set up something like, I'm going to give up this for Lent, it's kind of like my New Year's resolution. If I go too big, if I try to give up something too grand or take on a task so large, by about Friday of that first week, I've broken it and given up. So instead, I've taken to turning in Lent with three particular concepts. And that's what I want to invite you to consider. For me, it's once a day, once a week, and once a month. Once a day, once a week, and once a month. This is what I do. Once a day during Lent, I find a moment to stop, to pause in my day for prayer and for reading the scriptures. Just once a day. And notice, I didn't put any time limit on you. If all you have is 5 minutes on your drive in the car, devote that time to God. If you're blessed with 30 minutes, an hour or more, great. But once a day, stop. Turn from your daily tasks and give time to God. The good thing is, if you've forgotten about it until the very last moment of the day, you get to turn in that last moment of wakefulness and fall asleep in the presence of God. Once a day. See, that's all I'm asking. Once a day. Now, once a week, this is just me, once a week, I fast from just one meal. I found that if I try to fast an entire day, I get a little bit hangry. Anyone else get hangry? And I begin to be resentful and mean. And that's not exactly what Jesus wants. But once a week, giving up just one meal, or if that's not a good choice for you for your diet, maybe a simple meal. Once a week, saying for this time, where I normally would be eating a big lunch, I'm going to gather for a simple meal or gather instead of eating for prayer. Just once a week. Once a week. All right, my last one is a little bit difficult. You ready for it? once a month, and this year that means February, March, and April, three times, once a month, I go one whole day without my smartphone. One whole day, I don't watch the news. One whole day, I don't check email. One whole day, I put my phone in a mode that you can only call me. You can't text, you can't email, I can't check Facebook, I can't check Twitter, whatever the new app that I don't have yet, I don't download it. I remove myself from the constant drumbeat of information and interruption. Now, for some of you who have no worry about your smartphone because you don't even own one, you're going to have to translate this to your own setting. But once a month, for one 24-hour period, can you remove all of those distractions in life that get your heart racing or your blood pressure up? It's an election year. This is a good year to do it, right? Turn it off. Shut it out. And during that 24-hour period, every time you feel like you should be reaching for your phone to check Facebook, you'll be reminded why you've turned it off. Every time you reach for the TV clicker to check breaking news, you'll remember why you turned it off. Not for 40 days, friends, just for 3 days, once a month over the next 40 days of Lent. Turn it off and turn to Jesus. I often find after those days, I don't really want to turn it back on. Because when we turn our face with Jesus to the place that really matters in life, we find that all of those other things that have brought us anxiety and fear and frustration and conflict, they find their end at the cross, where Jesus offers hope, forgiveness, freedom, reconciliation, where he offers life, abundant and eternal. In Scripture, this word turning is often translated as repent. Because when we repent, we turn away from our previous way of life and turn toward our new life in Christ. So this Lent, I call you to join me as we repent, as we turn, and as with Jesus we set our face on Jerusalem, the place where Jesus will give himself for us, and then 3 days later, get back up to take us home. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for this opportunity to turn with you in the season of Lent. We pray that you would work with us over these next few days, that as we begin Ash Wednesday and begin this journey to Easter, we may commit ourselves once again to a season of turning. Turning away from those ways which lead us away from you, and turning our face to Jerusalem, that we might give up the excuses that distract us from following you, and that our hope will be set again, not on the things of this world, but on those things that are eternal. Help us to follow your Son wherever he goes and however long it takes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.